Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hello there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, you're bringing us an encouraging word, not about finances this week, but maybe how to resurrect our financial estate.
Oh, that's a very good one, because we are going to talk a little bit about our Lord and Savior being resurrected. We're entering into a couple weeks here before we have Easter, one of the biggest maybe holidays or biggest events in all of Christianity. Mm-hmm. It is the backbone of what our faith resides upon, absolutely, which is that Jesus Christ came to earth as a man, walked this earth to demonstrate the glory and the power of God himself, and was put to death on a cross, and then 3 days later rose again. So there's probably two major events in all of Christianity: the birth, which is Christmas,
right, there you go,
and then its resurrection, Easter.
Right.
And so yeah, we're going to put some of the finances aside. We're going to put some of the estate planning aside, and I'm going to put a little more of my pastor's heart, even though I'm not a pastor, but a little more of that ministry side over the next couple weeks as we kind of look at what has the cross redeemed for us. So what I see is that a lot of churches concentrate on the mechanics of the events of what have taken place during these different types of season. We talk about the events of Lent, or when we get into Passover, we talk about the events of Passover. We talk about the events of what happened when Christ rose. And what my heart really is to discuss over the next couple weeks here is, what has the cross redeemed for us? Mm-hmm. So what have we gained by the resurrection? And I think the first and most obvious answer that Christians may be able to relate to is that we have been redeemed for salvation. And so by us confessing that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, by believing in our hearts that he is the Son of God, by those things, Romans says that we shall be saved. It's not an if, it's not a maybe, it's not a if you do well enough, it's not if you can run a marathon, none of those things. It is the belief system. It is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead for the glory of God, and you shall be saved. So I think, well, that's one of the very first things that we think about in the redemption of the cross. And unfortunately, I think that a lot of us in Christianity kind of stay there, is that I've been redeemed. I've been born again. I have my fire insurance. Right, we all like fire insurance. Mm-hmm. So we've got our salvation. But what I want to look at over the next couple weeks is, what in addition to our salvation has God empowered us with? And it's to live a life of power. It is to live a life of victory. It is to live a life to demonstrate and manifest the beauty of our Lord and Savior, his power, his majesty, his resounding mercy to save all of mankind. Mm. And that's really what we are then given the task to do, which is, I've done the cross, so now I leave behind with you my power and my authority, so now go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we find in Matthew 28, is Jesus saying, I have been given all power and all authority, so here, now go. So what are some of the things? Let's take a peek at the Word of God and see what the Word says that Jesus accomplished, or what his purpose on earth was. So the first thing is exactly what I was just saying. In Luke 5:32, Jesus said, I have come not to call the righteous, but to call the sinner unto repentance. So there it is. That is kind of the main theme of salvation. That is, as a matter of fact, what many Christians lead with in our discussions with whether it's friends, family, co-workers. In other words, we have a call to say, come and taste and see how good the Lord is. For it's his loving kindness that draws us to repentance. And so, so that call to salvation, Jesus said, well, that is why I'm here. I have come to earth to call people to salvation. And then in Matthew 20, 28, Jesus also said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's really what we're celebrating here in Easter, is that our Lord and Savior humbled himself. He left his majesty and glory behind, and he took the form of a man. And by putting on that form, he became a servant of all. He became a servant to say, I will submit myself to the pain and to the agony and to the defeat, or what appeared to be the defeat of the cross, which actually God turned into our most glorious victory, which is Christ raising from the dead 3 days later, so that he became the ransom for everybody. And that by that ransom, we have a way of unto salvation. But what are some of the other things that, so we have salvation. We have that call to repentance. We have that call to say, you can exchange your sin for glory. You can exchange your torn and ragged life in for a life of what God has deemed to be glorious, because it is after his very nature. We can have the most miraculous exchange known in mankind, known in history, which is the exchange of my very sinful nature for the beautiful exchange of his perfection. That's an amazing feature right there.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. So, what else did Jesus come for? Well, Jesus said in Luke 19:20 that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So his mission on earth was always a call unto salvation, was always a call to say, come and follow me. Come and know and see the goodness of God. But the results of the cross didn't stop there. For 1 John 3:8 said, for this purpose the Son of God was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we see that there is victory over the ways of this earth, because right now this earth is under the authority of the enemy. Satan has his legal dominion here on earth right now. And that can be broken, that can be given to us to have the victory over it, because 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came that the enemy's works might be fully and absolutely destroyed. That word destroyed is a complete destruction. It's not just a little bit here and a little bit there. We are intended to walk in absolute victory over the ways of the enemy. So where does the enemy have a foothold in our lives? Is it through our finances, through our health? Is it through our peace of mind? Is it our peace of heart? Is it other things that cause us anxiousness? Well, I'm here to tell you as a voice of hope that as we march towards Easter, as we give thought towards what Jesus Christ has won back for us, he has won back our victory, the victory that we can override and have dominion over the things that this earth throws at us. He and he alone is our victory. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of what he and he alone has done. Not that we can glory in ourselves, but that we glory in God himself and the victory that he has given us. So we see that Christ came to call repentance, and that through that repentance, not just that we have gained salvation, but that we have gained victory over the ways of the enemy. In Luke 4:18, Jesus was quoting Isaiah 61 in this passage, and he said, I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, to recover sight to the blind, to set the captives free, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you know that that's what we are now called to do? That is the power that we are to now walk in because of His goodness on the cross, because of His victory on the cross, and because we have been given the Holy Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, we have been engaged in that same power of the Creator. So I know that there's competing philosophies out there, competing theologies. One would say that Jesus Christ never gave up His glory, His nature, or all of what He was in heaven. Now, I think that Philippians 2 pretty much contradicts and says exactly the opposite, that He emptied Himself is what Philippians 2 says. He emptied Himself of that very nature, and He took on the form of a man. So, what I see in Scripture is that Christ was completely man. As a matter of fact, He called Himself the Son of Man, not the Son of God. The demons, whenever they wanted to rise up, said, "Oh, Son of God." And He said, "Be quiet." He never acknowledged until the very end when He was standing before the scribes and the Pharisees and being judged, did He ever say, "It is as you have said," which is that they accused Him of being the one of sent by God. But He was always that He was the Son of Man, not the Son of God. He emptied Himself fully of that creative power and that might and that majesty and took on human flesh. And it was because the Holy Spirit rested upon Him that He was empowered. It was because He went and spent time with His Heavenly Father and heard the voice of His Father. He said that I only do what God has told me to do. His entire reliance, Jesus' total reliance, was upon God Himself. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He healed the blind. He was anointed, it says. It didn't say that He brought with Him the ability to preach the gospel, heal the broken heart, to recover sight and set the captives free. He was anointed. Anointed by what? By God, because without that anointing, without the falling of the Holy Spirit upon Him, He would have been just as you and I are, which is man, but it was because of the beauty of the Holy Spirit falling upon Him that He was empowered. And I want to encourage you today that that's what Christ redeemed us back to, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be empowered to walk out exactly what your calling is supposed to be. Again, I mentioned it in Matthew 28. It says, I have all power and authority, and now therefore go. Go and do exactly what I've done. Demonstrate the power and the majesty of God Himself by way of the Holy Spirit. Not in your own might, not in your own power, but by the power of the Lord. And so, one of the first things that I want you to be encouraged about is that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because He has won the victory to live a powerful life that you can manifest the goodness and the glory of God Himself, the Creator of the universe, to draw all men unto repentance. Your life is to be a reflection of His beauty. So we'll pick up more about what has God done, what did Jesus Christ win back on the cross as we return from break.
Okay, Paul Grant, looking at the resurrection this Easter season, and we will return with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show, this week looking at the faith part of the Legacy and Faith Show as we're in the Easter season. Paul kind of explaining some of his ideas on what the resurrection really is all about. And Paul continuing.
Yeah, you know, that coming out of break, that what do you call that? When is our little tagline or just the discussion of what I do? So estate and tax attorney, right? Okay, so I'm not doing that today.
No, not doing
but,
that.
But applying biblical principles.
There you go.
And so what I want to do is take a little bit of a brief journey through the Word. And I want this to be an encouraging time that, as believers, we can see what the fullness of the cross really has meant for us. It's more than just salvation. It is that the Holy Spirit has empowered us because of the work of the cross to go into the world knowing full well, having confidence that we have overcome the works of the devil, because that's what the scripture says. That's what 1 John says. And that we can live a life that is empowering for others. See, it's not about our lives just being empowering. It's that God empowers us so that we can give that to other people, so that we can be that manifestation, so that we can touch those who are broken, so that we can have words that bring that beautiful oil of healing into their life. And that's what I want. I want to be a life, a voice that brings health and life and liberty because of what Jesus has done for me. And I have experienced it. I have tasted it. And I think that as believers, that's our real heart, is how do we have an influence on this world? How do we leave an influence behind of His goodness? Well, I also want to look at beyond Luke 4. We left with what Jesus said that He was anointed to do. I also want to look at Revelation 5:12. Now, you know, if somebody's going to take you to Revelation, it's probably going to be pretty good. So here we go. Revelation. In Revelation, I'm actually going to back up just a little bit and go first to Revelation verse number 9, to where the book with seven seals has been looked upon by everyone in heaven, and everyone is crying aloud saying, "Oh, who is worthy to open up this book?" And it was almost like the first part of chapter 5 is heaven worrying and being concerned that we have to open up this book in order to have the fullness of victory. And we come to verse 9, and it says, "They sang a new song saying, 'You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every nation.'" So let's take a stop and just look at that for a moment. He's worthy because He was slain, and He redeemed us to God. So there it is again. That's our redemption, our salvation, our reconnection to the one who is good and good alone. "And you have made us unto our God kings and priests." Do you know that you're a king and a priest? You have been anointed to give the word of salvation into a dying world. That is what you have been. And we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. And here it is in Revelation 5:10 that He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And so that scripture then confirms 1 John, which is that He has given us authority to destroy the works of the enemy. Why? Because we get to reign here in this lifetime as well as in the next. So then verse 11 says, "There were thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of angels saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb.'" This is verse 12, Revelation 5:12. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And I want to stop and really focus on this scripture. Do you know that this is a picture of what Christ has won back for every believer? This is it. This is our victory cry right here. The Lamb was slain to receive. In other words, that word receive in the Greek means to take a hold of. It means to grab. And so Christ on the cross took a hold of, for us as believers, transferred to us power. He transferred to every believer who will receive riches. He's given us wisdom because he is our wisdom, strength because he is strength, honor, glory, and blessing. So I want to take a couple more minutes here, and I want to begin to look at these specific words. And I want to show us in the scripture that this is what Christ has redeemed us for, that we can live a life based in power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Because like I said, this is who we have been redeemed to be. It's not just salvation. It's not just that he has brought us and reconciled us back to the by the cross to our God. Yes, that is a phenomenal work. That's an amazing exchange. But there's more that we can walk in. And that's really what I want us to focus on for the last little part that we have today and then into next week, which is that the cross has given us our full and absolute victory and our redemption power. So let's take a look at some of these words. Let's take a look at other scriptures of what Christ has brought back for us. So number one, it says that he has taken a hold of power. Well, in Revelation 1:18, just a couple pages to your left, if you're following in the word, says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of all hell and death. Boy, if there's anything that talks about power, it's that he has the keys of death and hell. That's a little bit of power that we have, because Christ has regained all power and authority over death and hell. See, it's not just life, but over death as well. Now, I've alluded to Matthew 28:18 a couple of times as well. So as I flip there, because you're not seeing me, and I'm thumbing through to get Mark 28, because I should have marked these, it says, and Jesus spoke to them, this is after his resurrection, saying, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. So there it is again. All power on heaven and on earth has been given to me. So now capture what he says next. He says, go therefore. So because I have all power in heaven and on earth, and because I am empowering you, I want you to go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always. So in Revelation 5:12, we see that Jesus Christ has been given and received all power. And notice in Matthew 28:18, it's not that he took all power or had all power. It's that it was given to him. Given by whom? Given by God, because he was the perfect lamb that was slain, and he was worthy now to receive all power and glory. Well, that really means that we have to take a look at, well, why was it that he needed to be given back all power and authority? And that really takes us back to some of the words here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to save that for next week. It's a really key component to our victory in Christ Jesus, that the enemy came in and deceived Adam and Eve and took from them glory and honor, that which was bestowed upon them. And by that, he gained a foothold in this earth realm. He gained a foothold that said, this is now my dominion because Adam and Eve, you willingly gave it over to me. And that is what Jesus Christ has won back for us. He won back for us the glory and the honor that was given away by treason, and yet he redeemed it back to us so that we can walk in that majesty on here on earth. Not just in heaven, but here. We are to be that power, that representation of God's majesty in this earth and in this lifetime. So next week, we're going to take a continuation of this Revelations 5:12 to where, what did Christ win back for us? What did he redeem from the cross, and what power should we be walking in now that we know that we have the victory?
Paul Grant in this Easter season and his perspectives on just what the resurrection accomplished for believers. And you can hear this show as well as many shows on his website, legacyandfaith.com. People can also contact you there.
That's right. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. We have other podcasts. We do have things about estate planning. So if you wanted to have some thoughts about estate planning, head over there. There's an entire series there. You can also communicate with us. There's opportunities to shoot us emails. We'd love to hear from you. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
And returning next week for another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.